We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Learfield IMG College, this is Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics. Aggies All the Way is presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, welcome in. It's another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast. We've spent some time with Blake Anderson. We've spent some time with Ephraim Bonda, the defensive coordinator. Now it's time to turn the attention to the offensive side of the ball. And new offensive coordinator Anthony Tucker, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Can't complain. Happy to be here.
Hey, that means a lot that you were able to make time for us. Hey, look, the clock's ticking. Camp's coming up. Media days are in the rearview mirror. This is the time where it starts to get fun, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get ready to play against, you know, someone other than yourself, that's always a good thing. It can, you know, I'm not gonna say it can get monotonous, but at the end of the day, you put in all the work, and you know, you want to go out and test yourself, see where you are.
So let's go back in the rearview mirror a little bit and chat about the conversation you had when you get the phone call from Blake Anderson. He says, "Look, I'm building this thing out here at Utah State. I want you to run the offense." What's that conversations like, and what's the appeal of Utah State to come out here and coach this team?
Well, first of all, the conversation was very short because it was an easy decision to make. I've worked with Blake before, to me, there's not a better guy in the business to lead your program and to work under and learn from. So, I mean, that was an easy decision. You know, my familiarity with the program here, obviously, I grew up on the West Coast, actually Utah State, way back in the day when I was a football player in high school. They were the first team to offer me a scholarship.
Oh, wow.
So I'll always, you know, always remember that. Unfortunately, they wanted me to play defense, and I didn't want to play defense. So that was a little bit, you know, I drew a little line in the sand there, but nonetheless, you know, I'll always remember that. But seeing how they've built their program from that point, you know, and seeing the success that they've had here over the last in recent years, you know, and when I was at Arkansas State, we had a chance to face them and they were as tough as you come. Obviously there's been a ton of success, a bunch of great coaches come through, a bunch of great players that have come through, understanding the West Coast a little bit and understanding this conference. Cause I played in an earlier iteration of this conference. I played in the old WAC conference. And so I understand what it's like out here. And, you know, we're not here to fix the program. We're here to build on the success of things that they've had here before. And, to me, it was a really easy decision. So very exciting.
When you, you played at Fresno State, did you overlap with Dilfer at all there?
You know what? Dilfer left as a junior. It was a first round draft pick as a junior. So good decision by him. I can't, if he had come back for his senior year, I would have been there as a true freshman his senior year. So, but I played with, quarterback wise, I played with some old guys. David Carr was a young guy there when I was there for a couple of years. Billy Bolick and some of those guys who, you know, obviously went on to have a lot of success at the next level. So I played with a bunch of good players, a bunch of good coaches, guys like Jeff Tedford and old Hall of Fame guy out here on the West, Jim Sweeney, and of course, Pat Hill, my two head coaches, and long list of a lot of great guys I had a chance to be around, learn from, and coach by and play with.
That's awesome. So, you know, it's funny. I'm just remembering, you brought up Pat Hill. So last year, before the Utah State Fresno State game, we're mm-hmm. up in the booth and we're talking about, you know, if the team does this and this and this, you'll have success. And Pat Hill walks in and he says, you know what? It doesn't, none of that matters if you don't have a quarterback. You got to have a quarterback to make it go. And it was just kind of funny hearing him say that. He's like, you can have a lot of talent out there, but if you don't have a great signal caller, you're going to have a hard time getting that offense going. Talk a little bit about your quarterback situation. Anthony Bonner transfers in. You inherit a couple guys. What do you anticipate that competition to be like?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be a great competition. I think we have some really capable guys in that room. Guys I really enjoy being around, guys that I saw really take some steps in a positive direction from when we got here and getting through spring and just kind of seeing the development on the front part of it has been really good. Guys have really been kind of welcomed us all with open arms. They seem to be really excited. They're putting in a ton of work, and really willingly putting in work, which is always good. But I do think, I think we're gonna have a real competition here in fall camp. And I think we have guys in that room where we're going to have a chance to win. They're going to give us a chance to win. I think there's a ton of potential in that room. And so, I think the competition will bode well for the development in that room and, ultimately, being able to lead the offense.
I'm sure when you're out recruiting and you talk to guys about this offense and you talk about the speed in which you want to play, you probably have a lot of guys go, oh yeah, I'd love to do that. That sounds great. That fits my style. But wanting to play in this style of system and actually being able to physically handle the demands of playing in this offense, I've heard are two different things. What are your expectations of guys and what is needed of these players to be able to make this offense run and run the way you want it to?
Well, and I'm sure Coach Anderson and probably told you the same thing is, part of that is the reason why we hired, Paul Jackson, who is, one of the more respected, strength and conditioning coaches in the country, along with the staff that he brought with him. So, again, all those things that we're seeing on the field and the steps we've been able to take from when we got here until now and through the summer and being able to, peek on guys and stuff throughout the summer and being able to see how their bodies have changed. That is to me, that's the biggest cog in the wheel there. So I think that is an edge for us. And then everything is ties into how we practice. So we're going to always train the way that we want to practice and the way we want to play. And that's part of the, you know, cliche culture part of it, but really the work that has to go into in order to be able to function in an offense that's trying to play fast and trying to impose the will, trying to be aggressive. We will be aggressive at all times. And so, and being able to play fast, I mean, it's saying it and being able to be in it, two different things. It takes a lot of training, takes a lot of, you know, what I talk about with the offense is just investment. That's the biggest, that is probably the word that I use the most when speaking to the offense and how I go about things, and everything is an investment. And you're just constantly showing up and you're dropping money in your own personal piggy bank, and giving yourself a chance for it to pay off.
Who are your influences when it comes to play calling and design and offense? Who are some of the guys that impacted you the most?
Oh man, I could go down a long list of guys that, you know, from when I was a player, to guys I've had an opportunity to work under. I mean, I've been your college football coach, and you know, I've been in it. This will be 12 years for me now. Chances are you've been a few places. So, you know, I mentioned earlier, I mean, you know, I had opportunity to play for Jeff Tedford. And then my last year, actually, you know, I had opportunity to, Coach Tedford left and Andy Ludwig came in. And so seeing those guys and the cup of coffee that I had in the NFL, as a free agent receiver, Sean Payton was the offensive coordinator, and then Mike Martz was the offensive coordinator with the short time that I was, and being able to be around those types of guys and seeing how they organize things. And I didn't have any designs on being a coach, but I was always really, really intrigued. And I was, I was a student of the game as a player. And so when I transitioned into being a coach, I remember a lot of those guys, and then guys that I've had a chance to work for, Coach Anderson, obviously, really, really highly successful offensive mind, offensive coordinator in college football, has had a ton of success. And so he's always, going to provide a ton of insight on certain things based off, his, level of acumen that he's obviously had a chance to prove at this level. I was at Colorado with Dan Hawkins and the staff that he put together there, and Walt Bell at Arkansas State, who when we were there, and he went on and had success. He's a head coach now. Jeff Lebbies, who is at Ole Miss now. This guy, when you go through this business, you go work with and around a bunch of different guys, and it's not just the guys who are calling the plays. It's guys that have coached at the NFL level and at the college level and at the highest levels of the college level. I could go down a long list, and I'm probably leaving guys out, but not on purpose. Just I've been influenced by a bunch of different guys, and I've always been the type of guy that really will listen before I speak, so I'm really just taking a lot of things in. When you're a player, when you're a player that goes to being a coach, you don't realize what you don't know until you actually have to coach, because it's very, very different. And so I've been really, really fortunate from the time I was coaching high school football 16 years ago or the last, 11 years in college football, just to be around a long, long list of guys who I've learned a ton from a lot of different places, a lot of different position coaches and coordinators, head coaches. So I've been really, really fortunate.
When you hung up the cleats and the playing days were done, you mentioned maybe coaching wasn't always on your mind as a player that you were going to transition, but what was it? What was the first opportunity? What was it that got you to catch the bug of the coaching?
It's really interesting. When I was done playing football, when I was in college, I was really, really set on, going to law school, once my football career was over. And as I got into my mid 20s and turning into the late 20s, my interest changed. And so I thought I was going to be an actor, so I was studying acting out there on the East Coast, because I was still on the East Coast, and, studying film and commercial and improv and theater and going on auditions and doing little student films and all that stuff, you know, just trying to figure it out. Honestly, man, I really enjoyed it, but it is probably one of the most terrifying things that I've ever tried to do because, you know, at the end of the day, if you're going to do that, you have to literally not be afraid of making a fool of yourself because you're going to have to get used to making a fool of yourself. But I ended up moving back to LA back to Los Angeles where I grew up, in my mind that, you know, I was going to continue to try to further, the acting bug I'd gotten. And, you know, a close friend of mine ended up getting a head coaching job in Long Beach, California. And was begging me to come out and work with some of his players. And I was, you know, I kept like deferring and no, I don't want to do that. I've got other stuff going on. And then one day I went out during his first spring practice and decided to run an individual drill. And I literally never stopped coming back from that day. I had no desire, no designs on doing that. And when I went out there and had opportunity to work with those young guys, I just kind of caught the bug, man. And I never, ever stopped going back. And then I realized that, you know, I had a full-time job and then I was helping out at the high school. And I realized that the best part of my day, the most fulfilling thing for my purpose was, you know, those hours I was spending at the high school. And, I just kind of, I did that for 4 years and then, had an opportunity to get my foot in the door at the college level. And again, like I said, I've been fortunate to this point to be able to exist in this, you know, to me, it is a privilege for me, based on what it is that I get out of it and what I'm able to, what I'm able to do every day. So that's the quick, short, version of the story.
Hey, when you, when I was talking to Coach Anderson, and he's mentioned this a couple times to me, and he mentioned it when we were down at Mountain West Conference Media Day about some of the varying offenses across the Mountain West with Hawaii, what they do, and Air Force and what they do. And he said, well, we're a little different too. He said, there's a lot of teams that run the spread and run that offense, but we're unique on how we run our offense. Without getting, you know, you don't have to go too far down the rabbit hole of X's and O's, but what kind of separates what you plan on doing at Utah State as opposed to maybe some other spread teams across not only the conference, but the western part of the United States?
You know what? I think in my mind, what separates, you know, our offense as a spread offense is it's a lot of times when you talk about spread offense, and especially in the, you know, when spread offenses first came about, it was all predicated on passing the football. And it started with throwing the football. And there's a lot of different types of spread offenses. There's your run and shoot. There's your, you know, all the different iterations of you know, spreading the field and things like that. And sometimes it can be, you know, there can be an association with, you know, maybe it's a finesse type offense when you're talking about spread offense, or there's certain things that they can't do. And I think we pride ourselves on, first and foremost, you know, we're going to be, you know, very physical up front. We're going to run the football, right? I don't care what level it is. If you cannot run the football when you need or want to run the football, you cannot run the football. And if you can't run the football, there's only so much being able to throw the football is going to be able to do for you. So, don't get me wrong. We are going to throw the ball around the yard. But we're also going to be able to, when we need to, we're going to be able to get a yard or 2 yards running the football or more. And so to me, it's about being balanced. But presenting your balance, in maybe a different picture. And what I mean by different picture is being able to spread the field and still be able to be physical up front and still be able to have speed and finesse outside, and those types of things. And so, as coaches, you try to go into a season or you try to evaluate your personnel to know what you can and you can't do. And that's being a smart football coach. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to build a semblance of balance in your offense so that you can keep defenses off balance. So there's a lot of different mechanisms that, we'll use to keep teams off balance. But we really want to be proficient in being able to do both things. And we will be an exciting brand of football because of, you know, our ability to control the tempo. And people say we're a tempo offense, or someone might ask if you're a tempo offense. And I feel like my answer is we want to control the tempo. You can go fast. You can slow it down. There's a lot of different things you can do when you know how to control the tempo. And so there's more and more nuances and things to it. But at the end of the day, you know, the goal is to be, you know, create an exciting, aggressive brand of football that make defense have to defend every blade of grass. And I'll continue to say that. And that's the mantra, is make defenses have to make choices and defend every blade of grass. So that's really in a nutshell what we're trying to accomplish here.
I guess your message, at least I would assume coming in and with guys that are already here, guys that are transferring in, it's, hey, look, we're starting with a clean slate and an open whiteboard here, and you have a chance to make your mark regardless of what happened with a previous team or a previous coaching staff. Everybody's equal here. And that's probably got to be the fun part for you coming in and being like, all right, let's see who wants to compete and let's see who wants some playing time here.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, that's every program across the country. You know, if you don't have competition on your team, in your meeting rooms, and within your position groups, to me, you stand to gain less than what, you know, potentially you may have opportunity to. So you want to compete. You want to, first of all, you want to recruit highly competitive players. That's our job in the evaluation process. You know, you want there to be energy in your building, in your meeting rooms, on the football field. There should be no inconsistencies when it comes to that. Again, it starts in our strength conditioning program. It starts with the culture and the habits and the investment in there. At the end of the day, those things have a way of weeding themselves out because it's not easy. College football is not easy. And so anyone that's played football knows it's not easy. So there's a bit of rite of passage there, especially the way that we'll do things. But we, you know, the thing is we want to be able to have a lot of fun, working just as hard as the next person. And, you know, at the end of the day, when you turn on the film, you want that to be reflected in how you play. And, you know, Coach Anderson will tell you, and I believe this, is when you turn off our film, you want us to be the measuring stick that nobody at least plays harder than we play. Is it going to be perfect all the time? No. That's why you practice. And that's why you prepare. That's why you develop. But at the end of the day, the one thing you can control, and it is, again, going back to the cliche part of it, the one thing that you can control is your effort. And a lot of times your effort is what'll get you, you know, where your effort in the weight room, your effort in the off season, your effort on the football field during the season, consistently playing that way, you're going to stand a chance to have a lot of success.
Coach, appreciate your time. I can't wait to get camp started, seeing what this team looks like. I know you're fired up as well.
Yes,
and
sir.
Seeing another edition of Aggie football. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Scott.
This has been Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics, presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.